Kyra, with me, Emily. Today, I'm very excited about our guest. He is also a podcast host, and I'm a big fan of his podcast, which we will learn a little bit about. And he also was on the JET program, teaching in Japan. So today, let's meet my new friend, Steven. Hi.
Hi, Emily.
How are you? Yeah, thanks for being here. I'm so excited.
This is very exciting. Yeah, this is very exciting.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. It's Monday. First day of the week. Went to work. And now I'm excited to have a drink and chat.
Me too. I did not have to go to work today.
Lucky.
I am in Brooklyn, New York this week. We're sort of on vacation, although I'm doing some work in the mornings. But we moved away from Brooklyn about a year and several months ago. Mm. And then we just came back this summer for the first time. And so I've got a week here to visit my old neighborhood and to see friends and things like that.
That sounds so nice.
Yeah.
And you're even wearing a t-shirt that says Brooklyn.
It says, "Don't Brooklyn my Detroit."
Well, I'm glad that you can go back and have a good time visiting.
Yeah. Have you ever been here?
Yes, I went actually just a couple of months ago. I got to visit some friends, and my friend is living in Brooklyn, so I stayed with her there.
How did you like it?
It's nice. I really like it. I know there are the problems with gentrification, which of course we have in Nashville too, but
it's
a nice spot. It reminds me of like little neighborhoods in Tokyo too, like that similar, like you're in a big city, but you're in like a neighborhood of a big city.
Yeah, you're right. It does have that feel.
Yeah. But I wanted to say that I met you because you also did the JET program and you are running the website, the like blog for JETWIT, which is for JET alumni, people who did the JET program.
Mm-hmm. Or people who are still on it.
Or still on it. Mm.
Or anybody else who wants to look at it. I mean, it's just a blog. It's just a website. It's just a blog.
But did you create that website or are you just managing it?
Mm. No, I created it in 2008.
Wow. So great. And when I came back from Japan after teaching for 3 years, that's when someone told me, "Oh, you need to check out JETWIT." And so I was like looking on there and looking for jobs and like reading the different news that came out on the website. So it's very helpful.
Oh, wow. That's so helpful.
And then also the other thing that I know you from is the podcast that you're doing. Can you tell me a little bit about your podcast?
Okay. So sure. Well, we got time to kill, right? So so the podcast is called U.S. Law Essentials, Law and Language Podcast. And it's a legal English podcast, because that's what I do. I'm a legal English teacher at Georgetown Law School and previously at St. John's Law School, which means that I've been working with LLM students students coming from other countries that do a one-year master's in law at a U.S. law school. And so I'm always thinking about how to help them improve their English in connection with studying the law. And I realized in talking with a former colleague that something that would be really helpful is to create some extensive listening and extensive reading materials about legal topics, but in English, so they're more accessible. So there's something that foreign law students or foreign lawyers can listen to for enjoyment rather than from a study perspective, you know, and lower their effective filter. That's the term. That's the terminology in the
effective filter.
Meaning like, you know, like what we're doing with Yoparai, getting, you know, like Yoparai Kaiwa, is like lowering your effective filter so you feel more comfortable, less inhibited. It just means feeling less inhibited. So, you know, something fun to listen to. So Dan and I, my colleague, our partner Dan Edelson, and I talk about some topic, or we'll interview a multilingual lawyer, and hopefully it's something that's helpful and interesting for these lawyers and law students from other countries to listen to. It helps them improve their English.
Yeah, when I was listening to it, I thought, oh, this is very similar to Yoparai Kaiwa, except people can learn things. Nobody is drunk.
Maybe that's something we should add. Maybe that's a missing element that we both need.
Drunk
Dan
law.
Drunk. There's that Drunk History show on the Comedy Channel.
I love that show.
Drunk Legal English.
Drunk Legal English.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I don't know if there's a market for that yet, but we'll see. Maybe, I guess we'll have to pioneer.
You're creating it. You're creating the community.
We just created it. We just created this.
Yeah, I mean, you created the JET alumni connection. Yeah. So now you just need to make the Drunk Legal English community. Yeah. Okay, well, speaking of alcohol, what are you drinking today?
I am drinking a... It is a White Claw hard seltzer, ruby grapefruit.
Yes.
5% juice or alcohol? I can't
see. It's kind maybe of, 5% alcohol.
Oh, I hope. It's 5% alcohol. Spiked sparkling water with a hint of ruby grapefruit. And this is my, I love seltzer water and the flavored seltzer waters, but this is my first time ever having a hard seltzer. So.
I hope you like it. I actually drank. I drank that same flavor on this podcast a few weeks ago.
Oh, wow. I'm just a little bit behind the curve on this.
Yeah. I like it, though. I think it's tasty.
Yeah, very nice.
I am drinking a PBR. Less fun. Yay.
Did you go out and select that specifically, or is that just what was in the fridge?
Actually, on my way home from work today, I was like, oh, I need beer. And so it takes me a long time to choose a beer at the gas station. So I just had to quickly take this one before I thought too much about it.
That's like when we used to go to Blockbuster Video to rent a movie, and we would spend too much time. So much time thinking about which movie to get that we would sort of lose momentum for the movie. I guess that can happen with beers too.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, well, what would you like to cheers to tonight?
Let's see. I would love to cheers to new friends.
Yes, to new friends. Cheers. Kanpai.
Kanpai.
Yay.
But very bubbly.
And speaking of new friends, this is my only transition. Speaking of new friends, today's topic is meeting new people.
Yay!
Yay!
Come buddy, myself.
Let's do it. Yay. Yeah, I'm excited to talk to you about like ways to meet new people, since you're a new person that I've met. So, yeah.
Well, I think we've just exemplified one way of meeting new people, which is starting a podcast.
Yeah.
I've
enjoyed meeting a lot of new people through the podcast. It's been good. You said that recently. You were telling me before we started recording that you have moved recently to a new place.
Yeah, we moved just after the pandemic started, like when it was still pretty intense, especially in New York City, in May of 2020. And while it was a good time to move away from New York, away from New York City, because we were in a 2-bedroom apartment with 3 children.
Oh, wow. That's not a lot of space.
Yeah. No. I had already started my new job in January, just before the pandemic started. I started working in at Georgetown Law School in Washington, D.C.
Mm.
And so the plan was for me to commute, you know, going back and forth a few days at a time until the kids were done with school at the end of June. But then once the pandemic hit, we were like, well, I guess we might as well go now. So we found a place by the middle of May and we went down, and it was in the middle of the pandemic. So it was very hard to meet people.
Very hard. Yeah. But I want to ask you, your plan was to commute, to go back and forth between New York and DC originally?
Yes. So I would get on a bus on like Sunday night.
Wow.
Or Monday night or something. No, what did I do? And I would go down for like 3 days and stay with my cousin who lived in DC and had an extra bedroom. And then work for a few days and then come back for the weekend or for a long weekend.
Okay.
So I would do a few days at a time and come back and forth. And it actually worked out. I was worried about it, but it actually worked out pretty well. The kids, it turns out, when one parent's not there, they tend to behave better because there's a sense. Yeah, I don't know that would work long term, but in the short term, there's kind of, you know, when both parents are there, you feel safer. Like you can bust all the boundaries and you know that there's somebody to rein it all in. Mm. You know, there's tag team and everything. But when there's just one parent, I think, and maybe it depends on the kinds of kids. My kids really like to follow rules. I think they feel
the laws of your families.
There you go. Right. There's the theme. They're reassured. There's more of a sense of security in knowing that there's rules and boundaries and things. So something about one parent going away, they tend to like, you know, if we both go out and leave them with like a babysitter or something or by themselves for a little while, they actually don't get in fights or arguments or have problems because I think they don't want to mess with the, you know, they want the status quo to stay the status quo or something like that. Anyway, I'm getting off topic, but I do that a lot.
So, yeah, so now the whole family has moved to D.C.
Yes.
Yeah.
So in that May, in the middle of May, we went down to Silver Spring, Maryland, which is just outside D.C., like right at the northern tip of D.C.
So you said that at first because you moved during the pandemic. It's hard to meet people when people aren't going outside and go and hanging out with other families. So did you eventually, were you able to make any friends or connections?
Yes. Kind of a spoiler, right? I sort of spoiled it by saying yes. Like I didn't leave any drama in there.
Yes, so, I did.
Yes, I did. Next question. I like being social and just getting to know people anyway, but also I wanted my kids to have people to play with because that would make things easier on us as parents. Mm. So I was, as one person I got to know described it, socially aggressive.
Socially aggressive.
And one thing I did was I went on to some of the parent listservs, and Facebook groups. And I actually posted something saying, we're new to the neighborhood. We have 3 kids. These are the ages. Would love to get to know other kids. As we don't know anybody here. Mm. You know, very desperate sounding. Yeah.
Please spend time with my kids.
Yeah. But as a parent, I've lost all shame. that happens once you're a parent. The whole self-consciousness thing kind of goes away. Now I get it, because I was like, do my parents have no shame? And now I have no shame.
Yeah. My parents have no shame, for sure. Yeah. They don't care.
They'll just talk to anybody, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So now I do that. And that actually led to a couple people sort of play the percentages, and a few people did get in touch. And of those, a couple of them led to interactions and friendships. And one family in particular that had kids about the same age as ours, and, you know, sort of filled us in on some other things. So that turned out to be really great.
That's so great.
Yeah. So that was one way to meet people. One way is to start podcasts. Two ways mm-hmm. is to go on parentless serves and sound desperate.
Just to post online. Please. I think that like that was one thing that was a challenge for me coming back from Japan and moving to a new city. I didn't know how to meet people because, you know, when I was in university, I made friends with mm-hmm. other students in my classes. Mm-hmm. And then when I went to Japan, I became friends with all the ALTs in Japan. And then I came back to America and I was like, what do I do? What do I do? Where do I go?
So and what did you do? Wait, you're not from Nashville?
I'm not from Nashville. I'm from Ohio originally. Yeah.
What? That must have been fun telling people in Japan. So how did you meet people in Nashville?
So I ended up becoming friends with the JET alumni community in Nashville. So I think I emailed the Japanese, no, I don't know. I emailed like the JET coordinator in Nashville about something. And then he connected me with the other JETs, people who were JET program ALTs. And so, I became friends with them. And then I met their friends who weren't ALTs. And I made like friends with some Japanese people. And I have other friends now too, but that was like my main friend group when I came back.
So we were talking about how to meet people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I guess my daughter Rose is going through that at summer camp now. She's trying to figure out how to meet
yeah.
people and get comfortable with them. Because it's one thing to meet people, and then it's another to sort of filter out, like, who do I really want to spend time and get to know this person,
right.
or do I need to get away from this person?
Right. So. I feel like as an adult now, I'm just like thinking about being a kid and like going to camp for a weekend or for a week, and you have to like be around all these new people, and like you can't leave, you can't go home. That's so scary to me now. Like as a kid, I'm like, yeah, it's camp. And now I'm like, I would never do that.
Willingly
like,
put myself yeah. in that situation. Yeah.
yeah. I don't want to be stuck in one place with new people for a whole week or even a whole weekend.
It's like when you go to a wedding and there's the people you already know, but then there's all these new people.
Right.
And I feel like I should get to know all these other people, but it's too much effort once yeah. you're an adult.
Yeah, once you're an adult, you're just done. You're like, these are my people. But then I'm trying to meet new people and let them into my life.
Yeah, it gets even harder if you have kids mm. because you have less, I was thinking about this, you have less time. So you really it's hard to sort of think about investing time in getting to meet new people. I'm like, what's the benefit of that going to be? Do I really have time
right.
to do that? I'm not going to be able to follow up
right.
or, you know, go hang out with these people. So then sometimes I notice, you know, especially meeting other parents and stuff. I'm like, I'm never going to see this person again. So I don't know.
What's the point? I do think though you can use that though, because like you said, you posted on the Facebook group like, oh, like, these are my kids are this age. Like, we want to meet someone who also has kids so that our kids can hang out. And then that's a way for you to meet people. But then without kids, it's like, what do I have in common? Like, I feel like I need a hobby or something to do with other people to meet them.
You know what a great hobby is that I've done was boggle.
Tennis. What? Boggle? Boggle.
I joined a meetup group, a boggle meetup group, when I was living in New York a long time back. And I would go to, but actually I didn't really get to know the people. I would go, I'd play all this boggle, and then I didn't really get to know the people. I guess I could have, but I think I wanted to get to know people, but it didn't lead to that. So forget that idea. And another way to get to know people. Oh, I'd play Ultimate Frisbee, or I started, I really got into it in Japan, and I found a group in Nagoya that, I started playing with, mixed of, you know, Japanese people, foreigners, some Jets, a couple Jets in there, but a lot who weren't Jets. That, and then everywhere I've gone, I've always found there's always some sort of pickup ultimate game somewhere. And that's a good way to meet people.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Ultimate Frisbee is really fun, but I think like sports in general too, like if there's a sport you can play, you can meet other people who like the sport and play it. But I'm very bad at sport. Even like I really enjoy Ultimate Frisbee. But the problem is that most of the time when I play, nobody will give me the Frisbee.
Yeah.
I'll be running and I'm like, I'm open. And they look at me and they're like, she's not gonna catch the Frisbee.
Yeah, there's that aspect of it. I can't deny that aspect of it. I was teaching some ESL in New York a few years ago, and I had a student from Brazil, this sort of middle-aged guy, very friendly. And I suggested to him, I told him about meetup groups, you know, meetup.com and those groups, because I'd been suggesting that to different students. But he actually took me up on it, and he found a beer drinkers meetup group, went to that, and had the best time.
Wow.
And he like found some other meetup group and did something else. And so that worked for him.
I think I've had friends also that recommended those meetup groups where you can choose a group that's your interest, whether it's drinking beer or playing Ultimate Frisbee or whatever, you can go. Or like even some of them are like going to a museum with other women, and it's just like a bunch of girls going to the museum together or something. But
yeah, I would do that.
But those, see, you said that you're like aggressive at socializing, but for me, I'm like,
it's uncomfortable.
Going to like a big thing, I don't know anyone, like, I don't know.
Yeah, and I started, the more I tried to sort of do those kinds of things, and also combined with online dating, which I did for a while at one point in my life, it made me realize, I thought I kind of had a bead on the different kinds of people out there, but it made me realize how many more different kinds of people out there I can be incompatible with. So did you, all the people you met eventually were through Jet in Nashville, or did you meet other people eventually?
That's a great question. I feel like it always, for me, it has been like a friend of a friend situation. Like, oh, I met this person through Jet, and then at a party at their house, this other person came, and then I actually really became friends with that person who was at my friend's party. I've met people through the person that I'm dating, like, oh, he's in a band, and his bandmate is really cool, and his bandmate's roommate is also very nice. So I feel like that's how I've made most of my friends.
So having friends who are social. So meeting, starting with like a Jet connection or something, and then the extended, the social people from those friends.
Yeah.
That seems like a good strategy.
Yeah. But I still, even still, like, I've been in Nashville for 2 years now, and I don't have as many friends as I want to. Like, it's still such a challenge to me to, like, and part of it is because of COVID and the pandemic. It's just still hard to meet people. But part of it is just, I think it's like the struggle with being an adult. I don't know.
Kao ga hirokunai na. You know, kao ga hiroi? But you know that expression?
No.
To have a wide face?
I've heard of the small face. What is a wide face?
A wide face.
What's
is
a
like
wide
people,
face?
It means like everybody knows you.
Like, oh.
If you say to somebody, kao ga hiroi, ne? It means like, oh, everybody knows you. Like, you know a lot of people.
Mm.
So advice that I got about when I first moved into my, the last apartment I lived in Brooklyn was for, was there for 10 or 15 years. What was it? Anyway. 13 years. So at first when I moved in, it was very hard to get to know people and meet people. It was awkward in the hallways and the elevators. I didn't, you know, everything felt kind of weird. And then I had a kid, and then suddenly it was easy to get to know everybody.
See, I told you the kids help.
Yeah, the kid, and people said, get a kid or a dog and suddenly you'll get to know a lot of people.
Well, that's true. I do have a dog.
Oh, well, that, does that help?
My dog is evil. He's a bad boy. So I'll like almost have a friend because he's very cute. And so someone would be like, oh, can I pet your dog? And then he's like, rah, rah, rah. And you're like, okay, goodbye. I will say, like, I started taking my dog to the dog park. I was really afraid to take him before because he always, when he meets a new dog, he like gets in a fight with the dog. So I started taking him to the dog park, and for some reason in the dog park, he's very good. And he can make friends with all the other dogs.
Because he's got boundaries and parameters.
Yeah. Yeah. The laws of the dog park.
The laws of the dog park. He's in on them.
But there was this girl there who had a dog that was also like a Chihuahua mix. And so they both have like a strong personality, but I was talking to her for a while and my boyfriend was like, oh, I thought you were going to ask her for her phone number, like to become friends, but I was too scared. So I said like, okay, if I see her again at the dog park, I will try to become friends with her.
Oh, you know what? That's an important piece of getting to know people. It's like you can chat with somebody, but then how do you, like, what's your, it's kind of like dating. Like, what's your move?
Right.
What's your technique or move without feeling overly forward or presumptuous?
Right.
To be able to reconnect with somebody.
Exactly. You have to take it beyond we're talking right now and be like, let's become friends.
And I feel like there's some half step. Like if you say, I want to be your friend. Can I have your number? That feels weird.
That's not weird.
That's uncomfortable. Puts a lot of pressure on. But I feel like there's just some half steps that we do that we don't even think about.
I think coffee is a half step.
You want to get, we should get coffee sometime.
Yeah.
Or we should, we should meet up with our dog sometime.
Yeah.
Why don't I take you out to a movie? No, wait, no, that's
not. What?
That's not the.
That's too much.
Work. That's too forward.
That's too much.
No, I was thinking about this because it's the same thing with meeting other parents with our kids. Because it is helpful with kids to meet other people, but there's also this dynamic, and I think every parent that I meet that you talk to will attest to this, that either your kids like each other, but you don't like the other parents, or you like the parents, but your kids don't like each other. And more often than not, it's like, oh, I really like these parents. I love to, oh, my kids, they don't like each other. I've talked to other parents about this. It's kind of like dating. You're like, okay, I really want to get to know these other parents, and how do we get to know them so we can have, and the ideal is your parents, your kids like each other and you like each other, so you can go on like a camping trip together or some other trip. But it's very hard to, for some people, it seems like it just, they just, it's happened for them. And for us, we haven't just found that special someone's.
Yeah. Well, I hope you find them. But now it's time for the game.
What game? There's a game? Oh my God.
It's time for the game. This game is called, Do You Like It Better in Japan or America? And I will ask you about a specific topic, and then we'll hear your answer. If I like your answer, then you'll get a ping pong. And then I'll drink. And if your answer is too long or I don't like it, then you'll get a boo-boo and you have to drink.
Okay.
So you have to choose and then say the reason why.
Got it.
So the first topic is, do you like it better in Japan or America? Summer.
Oh, America.
America? Why?
Because summers in Japan are oppressive, and you have to wear a nice shirt and pants to the office, and there's not enough air conditioning.
Okay, okay, ping pong. What about Cool Biz?
That was after me. A mystical. I missed Cool Biz. I was a Jet so long ago. I was a Jet in the Shogun era.
What?
No, I was a Jet in the, I don't know, which Jidai? I was a Jet in like the Tokugawa Jidai.
Oh my gosh.
No, but I was before Cool Biz.
Dang, that's so sad.
I know about Cool Biz, but I never got to enjoy it.
That is sad. Okay, next one. Do you like it better in Japan or America? Going out, hitting the town.
Japan. Of course, Japan. Yeah, it's so much more fun. Izakayas. That's it. It's just so much fun to go to an izakaya. I never didn't have fun at an izakaya. Whereas going to bars in the U.S., it's like you go to a bar, people just kind of stand around. I don't know.
Or okay.
You listen to a band or something.
Okay, I'll give you a ping pong. I love going to the izakaya.
That's something I miss, izakaya life. That was good.
You're right, though. Bars in America are just sometimes weird. Like, I don't know what to do.
There's no sort of energy at them. Maybe I'm going to the wrong bars.
Maybe
this is more about me going to the wrong bars.
Yeah, maybe it's you.
But in Japan, it felt like you could go to any izakaya, and it always was fun.
Yeah.
Irashaimase! And all of that. Like, it was great.
The other day I remembered, I don't know why, I was leaving a restaurant or leaving a bar with my friends, and I wanted to be like, arigato gozaimasu, like yell something as I'm going out the door, like gochisousama desu. Like, what? No, we can't yell things at people. Okay, next one. Do you get better in Japan or America? We didn't talk about this in Japan, so meeting new people.
Oh, wow. I guess I'll say Japan.
Okay.
Because the new people you meet, because you're not, well, me, and I maybe I speak for most Jets, are not aware of so many of the cultural signals and lines and parameters and whatever, that you can get yourself laws, norms, that you can get yourself into situations that you would never get yourself into in the U.S. because you know. So I ended up doing Shorinji Kempo, with this group of guys in this little tiny Jinja or Oteda. I forget which one it is. Mm. It's just a little tiny building, you know, four walls and behind my apartment. And I didn't understand it for the year and a half that I was doing it until just before I left. But they were like, half of them were like Yakuza guys.
Wait, what?
Like low level, not quite Yakuza, but like one guy's dad was definitely a Yakuza. And they would like, they were so nice and friendly, and we'd all be in our gis, and then the ramen truck would come, and literally you didn't have to leave. You didn't have to step out of the building because the road is so close to the entrance of this little tiny Jinja, and we'd have ramen together, and they'd joke, and they'd, you know, but these guys were capable of being very nasty, and I had no idea. And I had the best experience with them. And like that would never happen in America. Mm. You know, there was just so many things like that. Mm. So
okay. I'll give you a boo-boo because it's too long.
Ooh.
But it's still good. It's still good. And I totally understand. Like, what were you saying before? The something threshold. It makes it easier.
Oh, effective filter.
Effective filter.
Your effective filter is lowered. I guess so, in Japan.
Because you don't know exactly what's happening, and so you don't care as much how people are understanding you or about making like a social mistake, so you just kind of do whatever.
Yeah, there was a certain amount of that. And so you have meeting new people is fun over there.
Yeah, it is.
Every gaijin you meet could be from, you know, have some other crazy story.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, great. Well, that's a game. Yay.
That is a game. That's a game.
That's the game. Thank you for joining. I really enjoyed talking about meeting new people with you.
Yeah, I did too. And I got to meet you. So that was, it's very meta because we're meeting new people. We're talking about it as we're doing it.
Exactly. Double action.
Okay.
Okay. Say no.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation. If you like this podcast, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts. You can follow us on Instagram at @yoparekaiwa. Special thanks to Jet Alumni Association Music City. This podcast is produced by Trout and Lime. Intro song is by D'Artagnan Melendez. Bye!